Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
A whole generation knows little to nothing about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. The Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute launched to right this wrong by educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their nonfiction first-person accounts are told through videos in the Discovering Heroes book series. The Institute offers full curriculum units, a speakers bureau, a mobile exhibit that's an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts, and Russell F. Siller Memorial Scholarships for kids of program recipients. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org.
A broken rail appears to be to blame for a train derailment that caused a bridge collapse in Colorado.
The National Transportation Safety Board releasing its preliminary findings Tuesday. The steel bridge collapsed Sunday when 30 cars from a BNSF train hauling coal derailed while crossing over Interstate 25 North in Pueblo. The 60-year-old driver of a semi-truck passing under the bridge was killed. I-25, which is the main north-to-south route across Colorado, is expected to remain closed for several more days as crews clear piles of coal and other debris from the derailment site, after which officials will be able to assess how badly the road is damaged and what repairs are needed. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Special prosecutors in New Mexico say they're seeking to recharge actor Alec Baldwin with involuntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of his movie 2 years ago in New Mexico. Initially, they had dismissed the charge, saying at the time they were informed the gun might have been modified before the shooting and malfunctioned. A Wisconsin man accused of bringing guns to the state capitol is now charged.
43-year-old Joshua Pleasnik faces a misdemeanor charge for entering the Wisconsin state capitol in Madison October 4th, shirtless with a holstered handgun, demanding to see Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat. Police say Pleasnik posted bail, then returned hours later with an assault rifle, saying he wanted to speak to the governor about men who've been abused by women, but who aren't getting any help. He's due back in Dane County Court Thursday. According to the Federal Elections Commission, Pleasnik's political campaign donations have been exclusively to Act Blue, that supports Democrat and progressive groups.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. It's been a choppy day on Wall Street. Now an hour to the close, stocks are lower. The Dow's down 112 points. Oil prices have been lower as well, but they're still above $86 a barrel. And Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right?
Good morning. You are on Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. I'm filling in for David Prus, and I have a couple of guests this morning. Surveyors. We are going to be talking about illegal subdivisions and what can be done about them and what we need to do about that. So, if you want to call in, the number to call is 458-8255. And with that, let's get going. So if you would please introduce yourself, Oliver Loftus.
Yeah, Oliver Loftus. I'm a PLS, professional land surveyor, working at Three Tier Alaska. Yeah, I've been working there for about 5 years and started digging deep into subdivisions since that time.
interesting career. Yes. And Troy Hicks.
Yes, I'm Troy Hicks. I've been practicing land surveying for about 25 years in Alaska since 2008, at which time I did a private surveying for a private firm. I worked at a couple different places, maybe three of them. And then in, I think 2015, I started working at DOT. I've been there ever since. And for this discussion, I've also served on the platting board for a little over 7 years. I recently resigned from that.
Okay, very good. So, when someone wants to subdivide their land, they need to go through the borough's platting process, and that is to make sure that the surveys are correct and all the paperwork is correct. Correct.
Yeah, and that the subdivision is designed to current borough standards. There's comprehensive road plans and comprehensive borough development plans that have been put in place, and it's in order to aid the development of the community so that roads are built to a standard that emergency crews can get out there, that people can travel up and down the roads appropriately, that things don't end in dead ends and odd places. Lots aren't sold that are too small, or, you know, there's lots of various reasons.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And it is a borough function. The borough took it over in 1962, I believe, and we've been working on that since. And there was a lot of property divided, subdivided before the borough ever existed. That's one of the issues. And then it took a while for people to catch on to the need to hire a surveyor and cross all the I's and dot all the T's.
Correct. Yeah, yes. It actually wasn't until 1985-ish that there was that Title 17, the current subdivision code, was fully, I don't know, ratified or codified and put into full action. There were various planning and platting authorities before that, mm-hmm. but Title 17 finally put it all down in one comprehensive book and clarified what you have to do.
Okay. And what is the state's stance on illegal lots? There is a statute that talks about that.
I don't know of a specific statute that talks about illegal lots. The Section 29.40-010 puts the planning and platting authority and land use regulations into the hands of the borough, each individual borough.
Okay.
And then there are other statutes. Alaska Statute 40.15 deals with some of the requirements for plat approval. And there's Alaska Statute 34-15 has the manner of executing conveyances, you know, selling land and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so kind of various pieces of all these sort of describe the overview of what the state expects, but most of the authority is handed to the boroughs.
Handed to the borough planning authority. Mm-hmm. And the deeds and et cetera eventually get recorded with the state recorder's office, but that is basically a library. They just take what's given to them.
Correct. Yeah, which is one of the reasons that the illegal subdivisions have been able to go on for so long, is that there's a bit of a disconnect between the boroughs and the DNR recorder's office. So a lawyer could come in and split somebody's land up by deed, and then they just take it to the recorder's office and it gets recorded without the borough necessarily knowing about it and being able to apply their penalties and fees for an illegal subdivision of land.
Okay. And this is basically, that's how it comes about, is that somebody, you can file something with the recorder's office by just going through, well, you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or go through an attorney, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's complied with all of the borough planning requirements.
Yeah, that's right. The one of the running jokes is, in order to record something at the recorder's office, you just got to make sure your margins are correct.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is not a bad thing. That's because that's right. They're not there to police stuff. They're mm-hmm. there to record things into the public
okay.
record.
Okay, mm-hmm. And we do have a call, so let's go to the telephone. And good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Mel. No. I actually have two questions, and I'll ask my first general question first, and if we have time, I'll ask my second.
Okay, got about 3 minutes to a break.
Yeah, would you please explain exactly what grandfather rights are, when they occur, what's your statutory, which can be appealed or, you know, passed individually, all that, because a lot of people quote grandfather rights
right.
without really understanding what they are. I'll listen, and then I'll ask my second question.
Wait. Okay.
Sure, I can answer that. First of all, it's not really me or Oliver's place to answer that. That's a legal question. But we can give you our free advice worth, you know, 1 cent.
Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Right? grandfather right is just a broad stroke term. It may be used. It's kind of used more by the common person probably than the courts. But it does get used by the courts. And it's just when they're, maybe they recognize there's a right that exists, but the rules change later on. Or it could go specifically into a rule, and they could say, hey, we're going to give grandfather rights on some issue in the past. It's pretty broad, and it just means that something that's changed is not going to apply presently to something old. Because of, they use that term, grandfather.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one of the easiest examples is building setbacks. So when the city was developed, you know, in the early 1900s and whatnot, houses were built right up against property lines. And then it was later in the 80s when they started to make all these zoning changes. They put all these zoning ordinances into place, and a lot of them have front, yard, side setback requirements, and a lot of houses in Fairbanks don't meet those requirements because they were built prior to the zoning ordinances. So those houses get grandfathered in through an application to the borough, and you just have to prove that your house existed before the zoning ordinances, and then they grandfather it in saying you aren't required to comply with the current zoning code. Yeah.
Okay. And that doesn't apply to subdividing.
Correct. There is no steps currently to grandfather in a property based on its creation.
Okay, good. You have another question?
Yeah, this pertains to me personally. I've been on this property since 1977. I'm a geezer. And because of my age, I don't have much of a structure here. And so I don't pay property tax below the ceiling for exemption.
Right.
However, some years ago, I bought my neighbor's property and tore his cabin down, and so I could put a driveway right into my cabin instead of having to hike down this hill every day on my feet. So I own two pieces of property, but in all respect, they're utilized as one property, but yet I pay taxes on the piece of my neighbor's property that I bought. Right. It's not assessed for very much, just for the land that my driveway crosses.
Right.
You know, it would cost me, I've told it would cost me, you know, $7,000 at least to serve. My property hasn't been surveyed, and I've actually never found the markers for the property. But it would cost me, so I'd have to have it all resurveyed, and that cost, you know, in the rest of my lifetime would exceed, you know,
the tax advantage.
Every year on the taxes. What do you guys think?
So that is kind of a separate question that involves the senior residence exemption. And that exemption does only apply to the lot where your residence is located. So that...
Mm-hmm. Would I have to apply to the borough to join them as one lot? Would they do that without having them surveyed?
Yeah, that's correct. Without knowing your particular properties, there could be things involved. But like it may not have ever been surveyed, there may not be property corners set. But essentially, you own two separate deeded parcels, or well described parcels.
Yeah.
And you know, so it is possible to combine them. That's still subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot simpler, but it's, you know, still costs time and energy to do.
Okay. All right.
But could I without survey?
You can't do it without surveying.
No.
It
pays to have a survey before you get a problem. Personal experience. We're a little bit past the quarter hour. We have to take a break for some commercial messages. So if you want, you can stay with us, and we'll be back after some messages and the weather.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's the best part of winter, the return of the Comedy Showcase. And first time to Alaska, the hilarious Matthew Broussard. You've seen Matthew on The Tonight Show, Conan, Comedy Central, Marvelous Ms. Maisel, Mindy Project, and more. Now catch Matthew Broussard at the North Pole Ale House Wednesday, October 18th, Thursday the 19th at The Spur, Friday and Saturday night at Goldie's Downtown. All shows are at 7 p.m. Tickets available at aktickets.com or the door. Don't miss the hilarious Matthew Broussard. Brought to you by Saks at Sophie Station and KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy today with a chance for snow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight, lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow, highs around 30. Overcast skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. This is Mike Prox filling in for David Pruse. And with me, we have Oliver Loftus and Roy McKenzie, and we're talking about subdividing property and specifically the illegal subdivisions that we mm-hmm. have. And I guess to emphasize that point, that in borough code there is no grandfathering for lots that have not been, the right word is, properly subdivided.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to go to jail, but you're going to have trouble. You're going to have some bureaucratic trouble. So could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, if you were caught, actually, you could get into some financial trouble. The statute, I don't have it in front of me here, but the title does say that I think it's $1,000 per day per fine mm-hmm. if you get caught doing something like this. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it's never been exercised, that fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they've ever explicitly caught someone and put the screws to them. I don't know why not. Recording, I guess. But
or aiding and abetting. They put that language in there.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And they did. So, but, yeah, there are efforts being made to rectify this issue, to essentially create a means to grandfather these illegal lots in, quote-unquote, illegal. I don't know if grandfather is the right term necessarily, but since we just used it, I'll stick with it for mm-hmm. now. So we're trying to find a solution to it so that all these people who own these lots that don't currently meet Title 17 requirements can further subdivide their lands. Yeah.
And currently the borough's position is that if the land was not legally subdivided to begin with, you can't subdivide it further.
That's correct. And the primary reason for that, independent of what anybody feels or thinks, is just the code says you can't.
Right.
So it's important to keep in mind here. So we'll say illegal subdivision, and that is the right word, but they're going to refer to them as unauthorized because they wanted a nicer word. Mm-hmm. So we might use those words interchangeably today.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's the borough's position, and there's hundreds, I'm betting.
Some estimates is 10,000.
10,000, that's quite a bunch.
Yeah.
And a lot of that happened before 1985, and some of it has happened since 1985.
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be hard to get a timeline on when, right. Yeah, but largely pre-1985, yeah.
Yeah.
They did a little study there internally because, they're now this is going to be addressed. Some events happened recently to bring it to light. And they believe that the bulk of these are in the 70s mm-hmm. or earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So there's mm-hmm. it trails after, like, you know, basically by 1980, there's super fast, there's very little.
Right. And I can imagine that happening
mm-hmm.
in the 70s in particular. The borough was just formed It takes a while for people to get used to the new processes and procedures, and I can see that that's a mess.
Well, not only that, it actually was a normal practice to divide land by deed.
Right.
And it wasn't unacceptable. That was just what you did.
Yeah.
So people had to kind of slowly learn otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now there is an ordinance?
Yeah, there's a draft of ordinance. We're still working on the language. The borough is trying to work with the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors, the Fairbanks chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And come up with, what is the best language for this ordinance? What's going to be the most beneficial for the public that solves this problem and gives us a clear step forward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's been some work sessions on that and some discussion, ongoing discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has this come up in other municipalities?
Yeah, I'm sure it has. The bit of research I did is, I don't have it in front of me here, but Kenai does have an explicit portion of their code that gives a means to clear title on an improperly created lot. So Kenai has something very explicit. Juneau has something that's a little bit more roundabout. I wasn't able to find anything that specifically dealt with it in Anchorage or any of the other boroughs. So there are other solutions out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I could talk to that. There, this is not a unique problem or issue, I'd say, to Fairbanks, North Star Borough. It's probably not, and it's definitely not unique to Alaska. Back in the wild, wild west, you traded land by agreement, then you recorded it by deed. That's normal. And eventually, we figured out societies that we wanted to be a little more structured and ordered about it, because you want, emergency services to actually get to you. You buy a property and you assume you have legal access to it. You might not. So eventually, things developed. And in Alaska, there are other boroughs. And if there is no borough, then they just call it the unorganized borough. And DNR assumes responsibility for that, for platting. So this has been addressed other places already, and now they're taking a stab at it here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And it is important, but
yes,
if we could get the professional's perspective on why it is important.
Clarity of boundaries is probably the number one reason I can think of off the top of my head. We're very concerned with our land, and we want to know where our land is, and we want to have clear, clean title over what we own. And having your land surveyed and having those markers put in the ground and having the legal record, especially the picture of a plat, is really beneficial. It very clearly defines exactly what you have and where it is. You know, when you do things by deed, there can be very poorly written legal descriptions. We come across a lot of those that start at a random point that is ill-defined and goes in a circle that doesn't close. And then it happens a lot with old mining claims are the worst. You can have an old mining claim that was originally 40 acres split into 13 pieces, and there's gaps and overlaps and misclosures, and trying to sort that puzzle out costs people a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I've been through that drill twice.
It's important to point out that this, we're not talking, when we say illegal subdivision, we're not talking about there's something wrong with someone's deed.
Right.
You have a deed. You own it. It might have been transferred properly, real estate. It was title insurance. All that happened. It's just that it's not eligible for further subdivision due to the way it was originally created. That's all we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Before people get too freaked out.
Yeah, yeah.
And in defense of the borough, it is important to get this straightened out, because you'll run into all kinds of crazy problems that you can't imagine, where it might only be 10 feet, but that 10 feet is really important to somebody.
And I can give you an example. Oliver was talking about on Airport Way, where he turned to Sportsman's Way, I think that's called, over there by Fred Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
As you go down Sportsman and you look to the right, all of those parcels there, I've had to deal with every one of them, I think. Every single description of every parcel disagrees with every other description of every parcel adjoining, every without exception.
Right.
Not one is clean. Right. Now, they all only own one thing. But when those kinds of properties are created that way, you'll notice over time that no development happens, and there's always a real fuzziness about where the neighbor is.
Yep.
And confusion, and a lot of times no fences go up, things like that, because people are unsure.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And it is very difficult to sort out after the fact if the two property owners can't reach some sort of an agreement.
Right.
Yeah, then that's right.
Yep. Then it goes to court, and eventually everybody loses.
yeah, exactly. Yep.
So, yeah, something that's worth paying attention to. So how does one find out if their parcel, if their lot has been properly recorded?
Well, so one thing, like this again, this doesn't matter unless you want to subdivide. Okay, so you own some property, and now we're only going to talk about Fairbanks, North Star Borough. You want to subdivide it. Well, you have to go and file an application to subdivide. Now, you might, they will probably look and notice if it was originally created outside of authorized methods. And they'll say, because of that, it's not authorized to be subdivided further. However, there is an ordinance right now that's being proposed to clear that. So if that passes, then for most people, that won't be an issue.
Yeah,
they'll have a process to correct it.
And keep in mind that just because you own a parcel of property, it doesn't mean it's eligible for subdivision anyways for a lot of other reasons. It may be too small. It may not actually be able to conform with community expectations or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, you can call the borough. You could call a surveyor. If you really wanted to find out, you know, we could help walk you through some of the research that you would have to do and what you need to know in order to sort that out.
Yeah. This is kind of a new thing. I own property that now I realize now was not made in an authorized manner. But all of us would have assumed without even thinking, we're like, oh, there's a deed. It could be subdivided. And so it's just coming to light
right
now.
Yeah, it is interesting topic. We'll have to get back to it because I hear the music starting in the background. And that means the satellite's coming over, and it's going to take control of the program. We'll have to wait for some national news and some weather and from some words from our sponsors. But stay tuned through the break, and you're listening to Problem Corner. We will be right back.
Is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu getting together with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz as Israel continues its fight against Hamas. Netanyahu compares the attacks on his people to the Holocaust, calling Hamas, quote, the new Nazis.
And just as the world united to defeat the Nazis, just as the world united to defeat ISIS, the world has to stand united behind Israel to defeat Hamas.
Scholz says his government's working to make sure the conflict in Israel does not escalate. Over in Washington, the House trying to vote on a new speaker today. Ohio Congressman Mike Turner, before the vote on the Fox News channel, was confident in Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan deserves this. He's worked very hard. He's a leader. I think he's exactly what we need to be able to pull the House together at this time.
But so far, that has not happened. They've done the first round of voting. It is now complete, and Jordan did not accumulate enough votes. America's listening.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute. A paragliding expedition took a deadly turn for a Girdwood man on Sunday afternoon in the mountains outside of Eagle River. Alaska's news source reports, according to Alaska State Troopers, 33-year-old Joshua Randich died from a paragliding crash near Magnificent Peak, one of the peaks lining the Eagle River Valley. Troopers were notified of the crash around 1:45 p.m. on Sunday by a photographer of the victim. Troopers say that after losing sight of Randich, the photographer and others tracked him down within 15 minutes and began CPR on him. Randich was later taken on an Alaska Air National Guard Pave Hawk helicopter to an Anchorage hospital. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. His body was turned over to the state medical examiner for an autopsy. The troopers' investigation is ongoing. And finally, Paul Esau, also known as Uncle Paul, celebrated his 99th birthday on Sunday, making him the oldest living person in Nenana. "I'm not happy about it," he quipped, then laughed and said, "I enjoy every day of it." He credits his long life to a lot of hard work and
streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
Want the perfect date night or need to relieve some stress? Well, throw an axe. The Alaska Axe Company, corner of Lathrop and Van Horn. It's like darts on steroids. Rent out a lane for you or a group of friends. Upstairs area available for parties and corporate events, with tournaments and leagues forming soon. Fun for ages 14 and up. Come throw axes in a clean, safe environment. Corner Van Horn and Lathrop open 6 days a week till 11 p.m. on weekends. And with 50-50 Friday, you can rent your lane for half price. The Alaska Axe Company is this week's 50-50 Friday special.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And if you go into our sponsors, tell them you heard about it on KFAR, and we appreciate their support for the program. So today, this is Mike Crotz. I'm filling in for David Prues, and with me we have Oliver Loftus and Troy Hicks, and we are talking about the subdivision process and a little issue going on now with lots that were illegally in the...
Or unauthorized.
Unauthorized, there we go, subdivisions, and trying to straighten that out. And if you want to call in, the number to call is 458-8255. All right, so we were talking about the fact that we have a lot of these situations. We have a lot of other land situations, boundary might not have been properly surveyed, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And how does one go about fixing some of this?
Well, for an illegal subdivision, there's not much you can do right now until we pass an ordinance to give the borough proper clarity on steps forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, if you want to do a subdivision, you know, you really want to call a surveyor or call the borough, call the platting department there, talk to them about what you want to do. They'll get the planning department involved. They'll let you know, what your zoning is, how small of a lot you can make, what sort of restrictions you have. Mm-hmm. There's road construction requirements. If you do a certain number of lots, you have to make sure you have legal access. So these are, I mean, a lot of these things are reasons why we want to get these illegally created lots a way to move forward, is so that we can begin to apply the Title 17 structure to them, so that, you know, they look right and they mm-hmm. they have good access and clarity of title, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will add, in the borough's defense, whenever I have gone down to talk to the folks in the planning department, they have been very helpful. Mm-hmm. Didn't always like the answer they gave me, but
yeah,
they were objective. They mm-hmm. said, "Well, something's wrong here. It's got to be fixed." Mm-hmm. The borough code is the borough code, and eventually we are going to appreciate the fact that somebody is trying to insist that property is subdivided and the titles are transferred correctly and people know what the allowable uses are and et cetera. So it is definitely worth the money that you spend with surveyors to get this right. And
it is.
Yeah. And there's, I guess there's people, just independent surveyors help you with that. And then the outfit you work with, Three-Tier, is it still Three-Tier? They specialize in that, and they are very helpful as well. So, good. So with this ordinance, where are we in the process? Is that going to be up for a hearing, or are we still working on the draft?
We're still working on it, Troy. You might know a little bit
more. Sure, yeah. The let's see. The mayor, Bryce Ward, and Tammy Wilson co-sponsored an ordinance. It's called Ordinance 2023-57. And the assembly, it was on the agenda for the last meeting. I wasn't able to go to the meeting or listen to it. But what I understand, they had to table that with a few others. They ran out of time. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be on the next meeting. And I think that's October 19th. When that meeting occurs.
Yeah, this coming Thursday. Yeah.
And then they'll hear it then. The current ordinance, what it does is it comes up with some, you know, if it's such and such and such, it'll qualify that will, waive that requirement. Mm-hmm. And the current ordinance wants to apply it as of 1988, April 19th. And then there's some qualifications, such as, were you the person that created the deeds? If you were, you don't qualify. Mm-hmm. Did you benefit from that? You don't qualify. A few things like that. And then there's a few requirements they have in order to allow it to go through Title 17. There are a few things in the ordinance as written that the survey community has looked at, and we need to remove or edit because it's going to cause some survey conflicts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have to go, that's on us to go there and make that case. Mm-hmm. But essentially, and I think that the survey community as a whole, including myself, we think we should just apply it to the present and not April 19th, 1988. And I should say a few things about that idea. It's not a bad law that you cannot divide land by deed. The reason that you're not supposed to do that anymore, it was acceptable in the past, it creates chaos in non-conforming properties, landlocked properties. And then, but then the reason why to waive some of it already occurred is because it's happened on accident to a lot of properties, sometimes intentionally. If it was intentional to exploit the lot, they pass it on to four other people. They don't know about it.
Right.
So it's some relief. The borough wants to offer that relief, but it doesn't mean you should do it in the future.
Right. Don't do it. Yep. We have another call, so let's go take a phone call. Mm-hmm. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Al.
Al, what's up?
Oh, my question is, and I'm surprised you didn't ask it yet, Representative Brax, how is the public notified, or was the public able to be involved in creating the draft ordinance?
I could talk to that.
Okay.
I don't think that the public was, and I now I ain't the one that brought it forward, so you don't have to beat up on me about it. I think that what happened was they realized this was a problem and they wanted to quickly address it real fast. Is what happened. So they actually skipped even talking to the planning board because that would have ate up a lot of time. And whether that's right or wrong, I think that's what occurred.
Usually when I do things quicker than I should, they don't turn out the way I like it.
Yeah, it could use a little bit of editing. I personally think it's a decent ordinance. It needs a few edits, in my opinion. Right. And then it's pretty good.
Yep. So, Al, the way it works for a borough ordinance, somebody hopefully put some thought into a change to borough code, and then they get an assembly member to sponsor it, or the mayor will sponsor it, and it's introduced publicly, and then it can't, the assembly can assign it to the respective commission, or they can just go ahead and do it themselves. If they go ahead and do it themselves, they will schedule a work session, and then it comes up a week later, generally speaking, on the regular assembly meeting. So, yes, well, another one of those things that we just have to pay attention to the notices and be down there at the right time.
Yeah, they did do a work session, and then it was on the last, it was on the public agenda for the meeting for the last, and now it'll be on the next one.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I would just meant, you know, more involved like you guys were, at least the surveyors had some input into it. But then there might have been, you know, other people that are familiar with this issue.
Right.
Would have had some input into it also, and, you know, coming after the fact, like we do our highways.
Yeah. Well, another thing to keep in mind, that so the people who are writing this and even voting on it, they don't understand it on the level that the surveyors do.
Right.
And so they actually don't even know that they should have went to the surveyors, to be honest with you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're like, you know, oh, this is our bailiwick. It's true. They don't know any better, though.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Which is why the lawyers did it wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
They didn't know any better probably then.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And to your point, it haste makes waste. And I've learned that more than once, serving both on the assembly and now mm-hmm. in the legislature. It pays to think about the people that will be interested, those that might be supporting, those that might be opposed, and go talk to them first mm-hmm. and hopefully get it as refined as we can. Before it really gets into the final public hearings and whatnot. But then if they haven't done their homework, then it might blow up on them. And like I say, that's happened. That's a voice of experience talking. So,
I don't really know a lot about it, and I don't have a lot of large land to do anything with. But, I think of the unintended consequences when you don't have a few more people looking at stuff.
Yep. You are absolutely correct, and I thank you for the way that you pay attention to stuff.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Well, let's see. We're getting close to the – we have another call.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a quick break and hear the weather and some messages that we got to get in, and then we will be right back. So stay with us. Be a couple minutes, and we'll be right back. And I see the caller – dropped off, but call back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's time to get ready to apply for 2024 health coverage. Open enrollment for insurance through the Health Insurance Marketplace begins November 1st. A United Way Healthcare Navigator can help you explore plan options, check for cost savings, and enroll. Call 211 or text GetCoveredAK to 898-211 to connect to free local assistance.
KFAR Weather.
Chance of snow today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 35, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. Chance for snow again tonight. Lows around 25. Cloudy skies. 30 tomorrow. Chance for snow. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for David Prus. And with me, we have Oliver Loftus and Troy Hicks. And we're discussing surveying subdivisions and specifically the issue of illegally subdivided lots and how we're going to fix that problem so we can mm-hmm. move on from here. And you mentioned that there is going to be this ordinance, the number I forgot.
2023-57.
2023-57 is going to be up. Do you know, did they get through public hearing on that ordinance?
I believe they did not. They didn't get a chance to even start it.
Yeah. Okay, so there will be public testimony taken on that ordinance. You can go to the borough's website, look it up, and if you're interested, if you have property that you're interested in subdividing, this might affect you. If not, it will be a very interesting discussion if you're ever considering owning land or considering subdividing. So it's worth listening to this hearing, whether you have an opinion on it or not. Mm-hmm. So that's this Thursday.
Correct.
At the Borough Assembly Chambers. I don't know when that will be up. You just have to go down there. There will be other interesting things.
Yeah,
it starts at 6 p.m., but I don't know when they would get to. They have some other things probably to take care of, and then they go back to previous business. So check with the borough clerk. And if you're interested at all in this, there will be a public hearing this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I had another. Related subject, quick plats versus the regular platting process. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So simply put, I guess it's not simply put. Let's see. What do I break it down to? Four lots or less. It has to be four lots or less if you're going to qualify for a quick plat. Mm-hmm. You can't be dedicating any road. You have to have already legally constructed access to your lot. Those are really the three biggest things, because a lot of what goes into subdividing lots is having legal access and having it properly designed.
Mm-hmm.
So really, any time you have to dedicate a road for access, or if you're doing a larger subdivision, that goes into the full platting process. It's just a little more design required, road design, a little more subdivision design. It takes a little bit longer because there's a more comprehensive review. It goes in front of the full platting board versus an administrative hearing for a quick plat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but still, so quick plats, ones that are often quick plats are when you're vacating a lot line between two lots. That's pretty common. You know, those can be done quick and simple. If you want to vacate an easement that you have on your land that was created by plat, you can do that. You can vacate it through a quick plat. There are a few other options that tend to go pretty smoothly, but you mainly remember four lots or less.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a quick plat.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you are contemplating doing something, it does pay to do it right.
Oh, 100%.
Check out your deed and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That records are available on the district recorder's office website.
Mm-hmm. You can search by name, you can search by legal description. There's various ways you can find out the history of your lot, yeah.
And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a history behind your lot, unless you bought it 50 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And there's differences on how you acquired the title. Did it come from the federal government? Was it a state-created parcel, et cetera. But it pays. It pays to check out what you have. Know what you're getting into. Know what you have. And if you're going to purchase a lot, definitely check it out.
If you don't know how to do that research yourself, you can also, I'm not trying to promote anyone, but you can contact a title company and just pay for a title report. That might be worth your time.
Yes.
Yeah, they're typically $300, and it should run everything from patent down to current ownership.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get them on the hook saying, yes, this is your title.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yes. And that too, it's worth the money. $300 is worth the education.
Yeah.
And then you know where you are.
Yeah. Especially if you're planning on any development or if you're buying a large tract of land, you definitely want to know what you're getting into.
Yes, indeed. So let's see. What else have we forgot to cover here? So you go to the DNR, you can go to the district recorder's page on the DNR's website and look up your specific parcel, get the history of it, and get all the documents that are associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a title company. If you're not proficient at going through the DNR website, you can get them to do a title search. If you are planning on subdividing, talk to a surveyor.
Yep, talk to a surveyor.
The borough lands.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can also start right off, just contact the borough. And they have a department takes care of platting,
right.
Subdivision. Mm-hmm. They'll help people out quite a bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that, too, is worth it. They are very helpful with that and probably save you a few steps.
They will. Yeah, they know code better than anybody. You know, they deal with it day in and day out. So.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise surveyors are always happy to help. You know, there's a reason we have a profession in it.
Yes.
We're here to deal with land. That's our job.
And yeah, if you don't know where your boundaries are and that there was a survey,
mm-hmm.
That pays to find your boundaries. Mm-hmm. Which brings up another question. Surveyors, they put a little aluminum cap on, I think they drive a piece of rebar into the ground or something like that,
yep.
And then 5 minutes later, that disappears.
Yep.
Why did they do that?
So you use a 32-inch, 5/8-inch rebar, and you put a little aluminum cap on it, and you drive that rebar into the ground, and then the powers that be, frost and heave, they jack it right out of the ground, and it tips over, and it gets plowed up in a road, you know, in the wintertime, and darn, it's gone. But it's, you know, it's the method we have. It's the best thing we have. A lot of times they stay put, and we'll find cedar hubs sometimes that were set in the 50s around Birch Lake and sometimes in island homes, you know, 2 feet underground, but it's still the same cedar hub that was set.
There are other monuments as well.
Yeah.
Our own practice, we self-regulate. It doesn't tell us to use rebar and aluminum caps. We're supposed to use something substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And then depends on, is that what we have to follow our own standard of practice? And as long as that's what everyone else is doing, that's kind of the rule.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other monuments. So we put in pipes, we'll bend the bottoms, flare them out, and then use it's like a 2-inch or 3-inch pipe with a large aluminum cap. That's another common one.
Mm-hmm.
People have experimented with other styles, especially the BLM, and in the end, they just went back to the pipes. Those end up being better than everything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a hint to the property owner, get some surveyor stakes and put those stakes somewhere where they are going to be remaining visible and not run over by the snowplow or when you're mowing your lawn or whatever, so that you have an idea where to start 10 years down the road.
Yeah, if you can find them now and perpetuate their existence for the future, that is definitely in your best interest.
Definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, the voice of experience.
Yeah. I've reset a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We've got about 5 minutes left. Do we have some wrap-up, closing comments?
No, I feel like we've covered it pretty well. I know surveying is expensive. Subdividing is expensive. And there's just reasons for that. And the reasons are a lot of what we listed out here. You know, there's a lot of history to do research into. There's, we didn't even touch on boundary calculations. But we mentioned, you know, with these written deeds, you can have a lot of gaps and overlaps. And making sure that you have a clear definition of what your boundaries are is worth every penny you can spend on it. You know, you don't want to be that person having the fight with their neighbor,
right.
Whose fence is on whose line or I can't number how many times we've gotten calls from people who said, hey, my neighbor's putting in a septic system. I'm pretty sure it's over my line and it is, and they have to move their septic system. I did a subdivision one time because somebody had just drilled a well for their property and didn't bother to check where their line was, and they put their well on their neighbor's property, and we had to do a subdivision to cut out a little chunk for his well, and it cost him, another $10,000 on top of what the well cost.
Yes.
And
another common thing to keep in mind just along those lines is trees.
Mm-hmm.
You start cutting trees. I'm all about cutting trees because there's enough of them. I want some sky.
Yeah.
So pretty not unusual people to cut trees and cut right into their neighbor. And let me tell you, you're paying for each tree at that point,
yes,
and they're
indeed
real expensive.
Yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't worth it.
Nope.
Yeah.
That, another voice of experience. I was heading in for a road, and I just eyeballed off the end of the existing road, and away I went. I thought there was plenty of room. We were going to put a power line further on, cut a bunch of trees, and found out I was 25, 30 feet onto my neighbor's property.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, he had set his well on our property, so we were able to make a deal.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have a dispute with your neighbor, you know, it's, I highly encourage you to go talk to them.
Yep.
Before you call the surveyors. We're expensive.
Yeah.
Lawyers are more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Work out something with your neighbors if you can.
Right.
Try not to just, you know, fight. If you can work it out, that's better.
That is definitely better.
100%.
And, yeah. You know what you're talking about, but find out what your neighbor thinks.
And if you have ambiguity of where your line is, maybe you got no one really knows, you can come to an agreement where you say it is and have someone survey it. We'll put it on paper, and that'll be it forever.
Yeah.
Yes. And especially if you have a lot in the city, it's important to straighten this out. Right? It's worth the time. If you have some doubt, straighten it out now before some new person comes along and you can get in a real mess. But the same thing happens outside the city limits as well. It's just that we're still a fairly new state, and there has been a lot of land subdivided and traded around one way or another prior to the borough forming and prior to the borough establishing more definite planning requirements in 1985, and then after 1985, there was, and still is, a long period where people just don't know.
Yeah.
As often as not, they think they're doing the right thing.
Right.
And it's not that anybody was malicious, but it creates huge problems.
Yeah.
And it's really expensive and difficult if it has to be settled through the courts. Yeah. You might get your way, but there are no winners in a property dispute that goes to court. It's just, it's quite an experience. So, yes. Well, good. Anything else that we have?
Oh, just on October 19th, if you're supportive of this, you should call and or email the assembly and show your support. If you don't support it, you should do that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, voices need to be heard.
We have an opportunity, that is this coming week. Take the time to pay attention to what's going on and don't wait for a unpleasant surprise sometime later.
Yep.
So, I hear the music coming. That means that the satellite's coming over and we're going to have to turn it over to the satellite. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Mike Prox. I don't know who's going to be here tomorrow, but I want to thank Mr. Loftus and Mr. Hicks for enlightening us on a very arcane but important process.
You're welcome.
So, So, you have a good day, and we will talk to you later.
AM Fairbanks, K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Hundreds feared dead at a hospital in Gaza. On Lisa Brady, Fox News. Hamas says the hospital was hit by an Israeli airstrike. Israel is investigating.
Israel does not target places like hospitals. They're not a target for us, and we wouldn't have deliberately hit a hospital.
Mark Regev, senior advisor to the Israeli prime minister, also telling Fox News.
We know that at the time of this tragedy, that Hamas was firing a barrage of rockets at Tel Aviv. And the center of the country. I myself went to the bomb shelter here at the because we were under attack.
He says it's possible a Hamas rocket misfired, but that the facts are not yet known. Meantime, the Israeli military now says an analysis of IDF operational systems indicates a barrage of rockets was fired by terrorists in Gaza passing near the hospital and that Islamic Jihad may be to blame. Again, this remains under investigation. A senior Palestinian official tells the Associated Press Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas will no longer take part in a planned meeting with other Arab leaders and President Biden expected tomorrow in Jordan.
The president is flying to Israel today to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. From there,